Our gospel reading today comes from John, and it's from the 14th chapter, which is pretty far back in the Gospel of John. And it's actually part of what's called the farewell discourse that Jesus gives to his disciples on that last evening when he is with them, the Last Supper. So hear now from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the one who sent me to give you another advocate, another helper to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows the Spirit. But you can recognize the Spirit because it abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by God, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and God will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from God who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to God, because God is greater than I. And now I've told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as God has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love God. Rise, let us be on our way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
What do we do when they are no longer with us? When I think back over my life, some of the most formative person in my life had to be my mom. For as long as I could remember, she was the one that was there. She was feeding me, washing my clothes, taking care of me, praising me when I did things well, and of course, the times when I wasn't doing quite what I was supposed to, kind of lovingly bringing me in line. Sometimes that love hurt a little bit. But when I think about how she really instilled in me and taught me and coached me, and was also a person I went to as I was trying to sort things out, as I was trying to figure out what it meant to be Philip. That's what she called me, Philip. What it meant to live in this world, what I was going to do with my life. God has a way of bringing into our lives people who give us that kind of guidance, who are ones who have more wisdom than we do, who can give us coaching. Maybe it was your mom, maybe your dad, or parent. Maybe it was another relative. Perhaps it was just a really good friend. Or maybe a teacher, some other kind of mentor. Someone who, when you kind of needed to know which way to go, how to deal with a situation, when life got turned upside down and you needed guidance, this was the person you could go to. And you knew that they could listen and that they could help give you clarity about what you needed to do. What do we do What do we do when this person dies and is no longer with us? This gospel, as I mentioned before, is the beginning of what the scholars call Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. They were gathered there having their last meal, and Jesus was very clear on what was coming, that in less than 24 hours, he was going to be crucified. And he was trying to set them up so that they would be okay. Because up until then, he was the master. They were the disciples. He was their teacher. They were the students. From Psalm 23 and also from the first reading, even the metaphor of a shepherd. He was the shepherd. They were the sheep. For at least 3 years, he had been guiding them, coaching them, the one that they could ask their questions to, the one that they looked to for wisdom, the one that they looked to for guidance, the one who they knew could guide them in a way that gave them life. And I know that they were all relieved to have been able to devote their lives and following in this person's footsteps and to be with Jesus. But something had to shift. Jesus saw the shift coming. And Jesus had a plan so that they would not be orphaned. In this translation, Jesus says, I'm going to send you an advocate, a helper. The word there, as you saw from the video, in the Greek is paraclete. It has lots of meanings. One is almost like the sense of a lawyer, somebody that when you're in a trial will stand up for you and speak for you and speak on your behalf. But the breadth of paraclete is much more beyond that, as it is, it literally means to call out together, to stand for, to work with. And so Jesus knew that things were going to shift, that he was no longer going to be there and walking around as a human, with God with skin on amongst them. And he knew that they would lose, and they had to shift things. They had to learn a different way of being. So his promise was that I'm going to come back to you, and it's in the form of this paraclete. This paraclete, the Spirit of God is going to dwell within you. And it will certainly advocate for you on your behalf to God, but it also will help you and guide you and teach you. It'll be my presence with you when I am not here amongst you as I am now. God knew that they would just be lost. And it was this assurance that God would be, that Jesus would be there with him in the form of this paraclete. And it definitely has this very, you can read this in the you singular, that I will dwell in you. Because the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, does dwell within us. It is, at baptism, we ask for God to pour out God's Holy Spirit on the baptized, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, of the knowledge and of good and what is right. This Spirit dwells within each one of us, and we can experience it. I know there are times when I feel like I've lost my way, when the stresses of life and the pressures of life send my head spinning. But if I take a moment, a few moments, take some deep breaths and still myself, underneath all of this confusion going on in my head, there is a stillness and a calmness that I can get in touch with. That's the Holy Spirit. And I recognize it too, not just when I sit by myself and breathe, but also when someone does something, it just rings so true and authentic. For me, it often shows up as tears. I can't really explain it, but when I am so moved by someone's genuine love for another, this kind of self-giving love, this rising beyond what they would normally do in order to make a difference, it just moves me. And it's like my spirit recognizes it. It recognizes this is something good. This is something real. This is something true. And that's been since the Spirit helps me identify those things that are true and real and loving. And it's a very real way. It's almost like Jesus speaking through that presence, saying, you see me at work in the world. I am with you. You can trust this. I know I asked the question, what do we do when these people that we look to are no longer with us? Well, my mom died about a year ago, a little over a year ago. We'd actually been saying goodbye for several years because she was suffering from dementia. But her voice is still here. That voice saying, everything in moderation. Don't get too excited. Well, the one that got started really early, because I had an older brother, we'd always get into fights. Don't overreact. And that is so down deep. It's just like, don't overreact to things. There's also that voice that when I'm ready to take a break and lying on the couch, it says, shouldn't you be doing something? Sometimes I kind of wish that voice would go away. But I give thanks because it really is the presence of my mom still with me. Her voice, her wisdom, her words reverberating and echoing and helping guide me. The Holy Spirit is not just a memory, though. It's even more than that. It is the very presence of God that is there within you. That still, small voice that's ready and willing to speak if we take the time to consult it, to still ourselves and calm ourselves. This paraclete, this Holy Spirit, is like that. It dwells within each one of us. But it, even though it dwells within each one of us, the heart of the paraclete, the heart of the Holy Spirit really is relational, it's communal. Going back to my mom, there's something about when I gather with all the Miller side of the family. That's my mom's maiden name, Miller. And when they were just a good-humored, smiling bunch. And whenever somebody said something funny, there's this very Miller way of laughing. And it's a shoulder laugh. And oh, God bless Pastor Laura, but boy, she loves to make fun of that laugh. But every time I gather with that side of the family, it really is the spirit of my mom there, this spirit of that dwells amongst us, that only really it emerges most powerfully when we gather together. This Holy Spirit that we have, this paraclete, loves not only to guide us and to coach us, but also to unite us and connect us. I'm sure you've experienced it here at the church when that perfect hymn comes up and it just resonates within your soul, but you can tell that it resonates within all the spirits, all the souls of those gathered. It's like this moment where, especially with music, it kind of unites and lifts us and raises us and gets us in touch with something beyond ourselves. Or it may be, I know I've experienced it in Bible studies where we're digging into some scripture. And all of a sudden in our conversation and pondering about it, this gem of clarity arises. And we know that something holy is happening. that there's something that's been revealed there, that the Spirit was just waiting to give us the opportunity to tell us, that individually we wouldn't have gotten there, but together with inquiring minds and open to the Spirit, what the Spirit is calling us and urging us toward, we have this realization. It's like, wow, it's like a gift from God. A few weeks ago, right before Easter, on Good Friday, we had a little vigil out here to remember all those that have died during the pandemic. And there weren't many of us, but especially those, there were a few of us that hung around afterwards. And the feeling that, actually, I think we expressed it. It's like, this is a good thing. It's hard to explain why, but we were in the right place. We were gathered together in the right way. And we could tell that God was doing something in that moment. This connection that we had with each other, but also that connection as we looked at those candles and got in touch with those people that we've known that have died, but also all those many that we don't know. And with God, we mourned their passing, but also gave thanks for their lives. A really interesting place where I experience this kind of resonance with the Spirit is when I get together with our Hizmet friends from Turkey. There is something about, I mean, Hizmet is Arabic for service. And there is something in humbling and so inspiring when I see the work that they are up to that really has no benefit to them. But it's all out of this urging, out of this desire to make a difference, to help other people. It's good, and it's real, and it's true. And I can feel God's Spirit rejoicing within me. What do we do when those who guide us die? We remember them and listen to their voices. What do we do in light of Jesus, who no longer walks in this world as he did as a single human with flesh and skin on? We celebrate that presence of God within us, that God has sent us a paraclete. That we can, what do? We can breathe. We can quiet our mind. And we can listen to that still, small voice of God that's deep within our souls. And what it is saying is, I am with you. You are not alone. Amen.